The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is St. Patrick's Day. It is Tuesday, the 17th of March, 2026. With Erin, niece of Patrick Bailey Green, we got to say happy heavenly birthday to my uncle Patrick Bailey, former customs officer. On St. Patrick's Day. Now, because it's St. Patrick's Day, of course, I have to tell you all, please drive responsibly. And also, drink responsibly. And also, don't do those two things at the same time. Don't drink and drive at the same time, please. A number of you are having grave difficulty just doing one at a time already. And thus, we're going to start the show with some traffic news, all tragic, unfortunately. Yesterday's Tribune, tattoo artists among two dead in separate traffic incidents. Two men died in separate traffic incidents in Grand Bahama and San Salvador over the weekend, pushing the country's road fatality count to 15 for 2026. In Grand Bahama, old tattoo artist known as Ricky Rabs died after his vehicle collided head-on with a dump truck on Queens Highway on Friday. It's a very sad situation. A male passenger who was with him remains in the hospital with serious injuries. Police received a report around noon of a three-vehicle collision involving a Mack Granite truck, a black Nissan Cube, and a red Chevy truck. It's very, very tragic. There's a second accident, but before we go on to that one, the gentleman known as Ricky Rabs, tattoo artist, worked under the company name Island Inc. Tattoos Bahamas, and we say condolences to his family, loved ones, and friends. In San Salvador, police are investigating a traffic incident that resulted in the death of a 20-year-old man. On Wednesday, March 11th, police responded to a traffic incident in the area of the San Salvador International Airport, where they discovered a man with head injuries after he reportedly fell from the back of a truck. Emergency medical personnel transported the injured man to... He succumbed to his injuries after being airlifted to New Providence. It's a very, very sad situation. Investigations revealed that the driver of the truck was traveling home to Cockburn Town with two male passengers when one of them alerted him that the other passenger had fallen from the vehicle near the airport runway. The driver returned to the location where the passenger had fallen. Okay, so did you all know that it's a traffic offense to not be seated properly in a vehicle? It's a traffic offense if you're sitting in the back of a truck. The first thing is nobody should be sitting or standing or located in the bed of the truck while it's being driven on public roads. It's like we forgot that very basic thing. You're not supposed to be on the back of the truck. To accommodate, particularly on family islands where the distance between settlements is long, 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 right? And there's limited cars and certainly non-existent public transportation options. People who hitch rides, they jump on the back. And then they sit low. So that's a term we don't use anymore. Sit low. You're not supposed to be standing on the back of the truck. You're not supposed to be sitting on the edge of the truck holding on. Again, let me remind you, you're only supposed to occupy spaces that have seatbelts attached to them. And then you're supposed to wear the seatbelt. This is such a tragedy. But it becomes even more tragic when you realize these are two fatalities reported on the 16th of March. And then on the 12th of March, again, I'm going to reread this article, Fatality on Milo Butler Highway, ZNS, 12th of March, 2026. A man, Geronimo Bryce, lost his life in a traffic accident on Milo Butler Highway on Wednesday afternoon. The man was driving a blue compact vehicle, traveling on the northbound lane when he lost control, collided with another vehicle, and overturned into bushes near the southbound lane. Assistant Superintendent Lakeisha Sawyer of the Royal Bahamas Police Force Traffic Division was on the scene, where she provided details to reporters. Admonished members of the motoring public to pay attention to speed limits and to drive with caution. Superintendent Sawyer outlined some of the initiatives the force has advanced to educate the public about driving with caution. I want you all to grab your pens and a piece of paper because we're going to write some things down. She said, quote, "We have given out flyers on a weekly basis." That's the first thing on the list of initiatives that have been advanced by the force to educate the public about driving with caution. First, we have given out flyers on a weekly basis. Two, we have made public announcements. We just want to advise the public to safely. It's going to be to save your life and other road users. Close quotes. And perhaps here is where, because on the flyer, anywhere on the flyer does it say, if you see a police officer commit this offense, that's not endorsement for you to do the same thing. Did you put that on the flyer? Did you put, just because the police don't enforce these controls, it don't mean you're not supposed to follow them? Did you put that on the flyer? But more importantly, it's 2026. You're giving out flyers on a weekly basis. Who are you giving the flyers to? Are you giving them to pedestrians? People walking the road? Are you giving them to students who don't drive? Are you putting them under the windshield wiper of the people them car when they park in the parking lot to create an obstruction, like a hazard, because they get wet and it gets stuck on the glass? Is that what we're doing? We have made public announcements. Oh, you'll go in the middle of the roundabouts and say, put your cell phone down? That's what y'all doing? Other than, I mean, let me read it again. Quote, we have given out flyers on a weekly basis. We have made public announcements. We just want to advise the public to safely. It's going to be to save your life and other road users. According to police, speed was a factor in this accident. Full stop, end of article. And then we go to the 9th of March, 2026. Two men dead following separate traffic accidents. Two men were killed in traffic fatalities over the weekend. A 40-year-old man who was found praying outside of his car shortly after he collided with a tree on a Grand Bahama Road died last night in hospital, police said. Meanwhile, a 36-year-old who was involved in an early Kemp Road in New Providence died in hospital after he lost control of his vehicle and crashed into a utility pole. It's a tragic, tragic state of affairs, particularly because those are just the stories that make the newspaper. These are just the incidents that make the newspaper. Over and over again, videos on social media, cars having to be pulled out of the bush. Some cars over 3/4 of a mile in the bush, they have to be retrieved. Cars on their head. Cars like they just slide out the dance. In fact, this morning, I saw two clips. One of a purported hit. It's not a hit and run. It's an accident involving a pedestrian. The driver, from the video, we assume it's the driver that hit them that is standing on the stationary. But it may just be someone who stopped to assist, right? We also have another scene where there were two ambulances on the scene for whatever happened. It was difficult to see what happened. Something is very, very wrong. This is the most basic national, like, function. The movement of goods, people, and services throughout your country. And it is falling apart. Sunday was, like, I can't even say I was startled by it, but what did startle me is I actually observed drivers ignoring the closed road and driving through parade members, right? People participating on the parade, driving through a parade without being authorized by the police to do so. And after directing cars to Prince George Wharf with no instructions and no officers manning George Wharf, like, what did y'all expect to happen? All right, let's go to the headlines for the day. Mind you, again, this article, Tattoo Artists Among Two Dead in Separate Traffic Incidents, is yesterday's headline, 16th of March, 2026. So another headline, Boleg, $15 million National Arts Center renovation bill, quote, not cost effective, close quotes. Youth, Sports, and Culture Minister Mario Boleg said it would cost about $15 million to renovate the National Center for the Performing Arts, a price the government considers too high without first deciding whether to demolish the building or pursue another option. Okay, see, I right off the bat, first paragraph, the government considers that price too high without first deciding whether to demolish the building or pursue another option. So tell me, how did we get here? Like, how did the conversation start? Who put the $15 million price tag on the table? And if, I mean, forget it's too high without first deciding whether to demolish the building or pursue another option. Who does that? Who would make a decision like that without assessing doing a cost analysis? Like, who does that? Is it the PLP? We continue in the article. His comments to the Tribune followed complaints on social media about the current state of the building, with some critics describing its condition as a, quote, disgrace, close quotes, and questioning the government's regard to your critic to come to that conclusion, but let us continue to read. Mr. Boleg said assessments found the existing structure would require major upgrades to meet modern standards for the creative industry. He noted the facility was not shut down under the current administration, but he could not recall which previous government ceased its operations. After taking office, the minister said he toured the building with then Works Minister Alfred Sayers and technical teams from both ministries to evaluate the scope of work required. Mr. Boleg said the building lacks proper change and dressing rooms for performers and was originally designed as a movie theater. He added that half the roof was lost during a hurricane. Quote, Let me read it again. Quote, we would have been advised that to get that building up to some standard, to occupy it would have cost some $15 million, close quotes, he said. Listen, y'all hear it? We would have been advised. Did y'all have to cancel the meeting? Did the white paper not get delivered? What do you mean you would have been advised? Were you not advised? But you all mad at the little children for not passing exam? This man is a whole minister. We continue. Let me read it again. Quote, we would have been advised that to get that building up to some standard to occupy it would have cost some $15 million. Close quotes. He said, quote, looking at the present structure, which was sound, the design of the present, and knowing where the day and time we are in, knowing where we wanted the performing arts and the creatives to go, as it relates to what the performing arts should look like, we considered it was not cost effective to invest that type of money into that building at the present time, close quotes. I noted campus auditions have opened. Minister, are you auditioning for something? What is this pretty little dialogue that you left us here? Monologue. That's why I'm not auditioning. Let me read it again. Quote, looking at the present structure, which was sound, the design of the present, and knowing where the day and time we are in, knowing where we wanted the performing arts and the creatives to go, as it relates to what the performing arts should look like. We considered it was not cost effective to invest that type of money into that building at the present time. Close quotes. Give that man a slot in campus, please. Mr. Boleg said the government may consider the matter during a possible second term for the Davis administration. He said he believes the government is willing to invest in a performing arts center, whether by renovating the current facility or building a new one, but said the final decision on priorities rests with the Prime Minister. He said decisions about the facility must consider the needs of the modern creative industry. Dear reporter, you know what I would have loved? If you would have asked Mr. Boleg for a follow-up, right? On campus, because wasn't campus supposed to be in the old Phil's building? Isn't there that where campus is supposed to unfold? Aren't they still at the National Training Agency? See, you can't just read this. You got to remember that they told us that they were building out the old Phil's facility on Gladstone Road and making it fit for purpose. But the people then started the first cohort at the National Training Agency. What's going on at all? It's almost as if the investment in the creative arts is simply a performance. And the pun was intended, and I'm sure you all intended it too. Let's go to the text line. Oh boy, this texter just wants to get me excited today. I can leave the text a little later in the day. I will read it though. I will read it. I don't get it. Are you bored, texter? Are you bored? Don't you have work to do? Every one of us have work to do? Some of y'all be on the road like you ain't got no work to do in the world. Let's get back to the headlines. I saw two interesting articles in the paper today. Actually, I wanted to have a St. Patrick's Day show, but then I realized the subject matter that, you know, the way that I wanted to frame it may be considered incendiary by some, because over the last few days, right, over the last few days, with all of the St. Patrick's Day sort of celebrations unfolding, the only thing I could remember, right, is being told two things, right? The first is that when we hear the story of St. Patrick running the rats out of Ireland, right? Maybe we don't realize we're being told a story about the Africans that were found there, who were found in Ireland, right? That were eradicated, genocide, run out of Ireland. But we don't say that anymore. The way that we tell the story now is that it was simply just rats that St. Patrick ran out of Ireland, which led me to believe that this leprechaun story is actually the remnants of the demonization of the pygmy Africans that occupied, if not indigenous people, of space we call Ireland at this time. So I wanted to talk about that a little bit, if people ever heard that, if they thought about that. But then I saw these two letters to the editor in today's paper, and I thought, what an interesting conversation. Producer, let's go to the phone line. Sorry about that, callers. I was deep in that paper. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. I'm in the opening show. You missed the green, you know, the green on St. Patrick's Day. I remember some ladies on the show talking about the Performing Arts Center being repaired, and they was able to get some funding, but that was the last time we heard about it.
Yeah. I had not heard that, but I remember going to the theater there. I know it's a movie theater. Those of us, we went and watched movies there, right? When the government took it over. I've been to plays. I've been to events and performances at the Performing Arts Center there. I'm trying to figure out, how can an administration convince us that they care about the arts if this is the state of this building? And how can a government convince us that we should let them spend money on purchasing or renting entities that they have no intention of maintaining?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, go on. I know I had you waiting for a little while. Okay, there you go. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, good morning, Aaron. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Yeah, I was listening to you talk about the proposed thing for the Performing Arts. Right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but the thing about this, Aaron, we need to get to the point where we allow the technocrats to do their work.
Mm-hmm.
We really should be hearing from the technocrats on these issues. But the technocrats have delegated their responsibility and turned it over to the politicians. You hear the politicians speak who know nothing about construction other than what they have been told.
Mm-hmm.
And the technocrats just allowed, that's why, and I hope that going forward and next administration would allow the technocrats to do their work.
Yeah.
Why are we hearing from politicians on these technical issues?
Yeah, I agree.
We shouldn't be hearing from them, but they hog up these things just for, I don't know why they do it. You know, I can't say for them to be reelected, but it has to be something why they chose to do everything other and do their job, which is to bring legislation, policies, and programs that will foster good governance.
And
they're not doing that.
And
they're more concerned about everything else other than doing their job.
No, I see it. I was trying to place like a year or like a decade, the last time technocrats really spoke, right? Without, like, just spoke to the matter, right? That you call an office and you could ask a question, and the question will be answered, right? But it's got to be 20 years easily. It's got to be 20 years easily.
It has to be. But then, I mean, the technocrats too needs to be held accountable, you know, because, and then you have the media. You have young journalists. You don't have the Nikki Kellys and the Damianos and the heavy hitters back then. This is why we find persons moving right through our system unabated, even though they don't bring much to the table. But, you know, we have a shortage too when it comes to experienced journalists who could ask the right questions that will get the right answers, or maybe not the answers that we want to hear from. And
yeah,
I mean, it's all confusing, but hopefully the journalists could be more, we could get more experienced journalists there to put these questions so we could get back. We could kind of recalibrate and get back and lead to good governance, man. But we have a void right now, and the politicians are taking full advantage of it. But we shouldn't be hearing from the minister on this very important issue. Yeah. The technocrats, we have a director of public works, we have other areas, but we'll see basically what happens.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Let's go to the next caller, producer. Especially, I did not expect to hear this from Boleg, not the same Boleg that tabled an unaudited report in the House after the chair of the local organizing committee for Corifta called the audited report garbage. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I did not get the gist of your, because I'm just joining your show, but I understand you're talking about the performing arts, proposed performing arts academy that is scheduled to be at the Gladstone Road facility.
Okay, so we were talking about this article in today's Tribune, Boleg, $15 million National Arts Center renovation bill, quote, not cost effective. And so after reading that article, right, I said aloud, I had wished the reporter had juxtaposed this to the current state of affairs of CAPAS, because we were told that CAPAS was going to operate out of the Phil's compound on Gladstone Road. And
That is correct.
But now they seem to be at the National Training Agency, and the people who I talk to, no, we ain't at Phil's, we ain't going there.
You know, Madam Green, this is the big debacle that we're dealing with this proposed CAPAS institution. And you know, as an artist, as a producer, as someone who has been in this business for over 50 years, and my father before me, is a complete farce what's going on with that particular program. Let me go back to the beginning. We made a very strong position at the time when that was being proposed, this CAPAS thing, that we need to look at developing the University of the Bahamas Performing Arts Program. There are any number of institutions around the world that we could use as prototypes. One headed by a very renowned Bahamian who is a consultant to the UB. His name is Dr. Sidney Mathie, who has a program in Tennessee that will rival any performing arts institution anywhere in the world, including Juilliard and all those friends too. It would have made much more sense to me if we were to develop the performing arts program at the University of the Bahamas. This CAPAS thing is supposed to fall under the jurisdiction of the Ministry of Education, and therefore those monies and resources could be used to develop a first-class performing arts curricula and program at the University of the Bahamas. This is nothing more than another case of family, friends, and lovers. Again, we need to stop this foolishness in this country. And this program, which is headed by this gentleman out of the Prime Minister's office, along with his sister as one of the directors, etc., is a bunch of foolishness, in my opinion, because we could easily have incorporated this program in the University of the Bahamas and develop it as a first-class university where we have these kinds of programs all over the world. Secondly, when these people would have gotten this quote-unquote world-class training, where are they going to work, Ms. Green?
Mm-hmm.
Where are they going to work? We proposed to the government at the beginning of this administration that we should develop an Entertainment Cultural Heritage Encouragement Act. The other day, they passed two bills back to back.
Mm-hmm.
There was not one word in that about the development of the entertainment industry that will create an opportunity for private sector people to invest in the entertainment cultural arts industries so that we can get monies coming into these industries by Bahamians and indirect and direct foreign investors to the benefit of developing an entertainment industry, benefit our locals, but also tap into the tourism industry.
Yes.
Not one single word.
Yes.
So what does that say to us? We're not serious about developing the entertainment industry. Back in the, and I end with this,
mm-hmm.
back in the 50s and 60s, we were the envy of the Caribbean in the entertainment world.
So thank you.
50+ years later, we have been denigrated to the worst entertainment tourism destination in the region when it comes to cultural expression.
Yes, sir. Listen, thank you very much for your contribution this morning. On the other side of the break, I'm going to touch in it a bit more before I transition to another segment. I was looking all night at the article, you know, the one where the Prime Minister and the Leader of the Opposition were going back and forth in the House over whether the Prime Minister was just being, you know, what, tongue-in-cheek, or if he was being disrespectful. Right, when they jousted about bots. I just don't know if they're taking it seriously or not. That's all. I just don't know. So, on the other side of the break, we can touch on that for just a moment. I'm going to tell you why these two letters to the editor piqued my interest. And then I get a question. Is the Golden Yoke program now in the Ministry of Works portfolio? Or is it still in the Ministry of Agriculture portfolio? Because I would hate for the Golden Yoke to be the egg on the PLP administration's face come election time. We go into a break. You're on the clock with Erin Green. We'll be right back.
Hey, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson Pen. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody calling me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I wait?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Put more money back in your pocket with the Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The following is a paid political message.
She is a fighter. find it here.
You're looking for truth,
find it here.
Vote for MacGyver. Ah! She's here for you.
See everybody.
That was a paid political message.
Get set.
Track and field fans, it's that time. Time for the B3A Crypto Trials, Marginal Thomas A. Robinson Stadium. Come see the country's finest young athletes in blazing battles on the track and fierce field competition as they look to book their tickets to the 53rd Crypto Games in St. George's, Grenada on the Easter holiday weekend. Who will make the team to represent the Bahamas? Be there for the B3A Crypto Trials, March 20th through 22nd at the original Thomas A. Robinson Stadium. Competition starts at 5 p.m. on Friday, March 20th, and 3 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday, March 21st and 22nd. General admission, $12. Children under 12, $8. $20 VIP. Three-day passes are $34 general admission, $20 children under 12, and $58 for a three-day VIP pass. The B3A, March 20th through 22nd. Don't you miss it.
Yeehaw.
Good morning. Welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Okay, we're back from the break. A text says, Aaron, they are temporarily at the NTA as the field site is being prepared. They've said this. I know they've said it. I will acknowledge that. They've said that over and over and over again, that the site of Capas will be the site we formerly know as the Phil's site. On is when? When? What's the timeline? See, because you gotta match the pace of your own policy. This is a policy you said. These are timelines that you said. These are things that you told us. Let's stick a pin and go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, morning, Miss Green.
Good morning. How you doing?
Okay. Now, I don't know that price. That's just the price to build a building, right? The $15 million.
Well, there's a renovation. They said renovation bill, right? So we assumed they would not be demolishing. They would be rehabbing the structure and then outfitting the building.
Well, you know, that's a price out the sky. I guess they must be grabbing them by and put some numbers in there. They said let them pick a price. Because you know what $15 million could do?
Yeah.
That could build two schools.
Yeah. You know how much equipment in the hospital $15 million could buy?
I just outrageous how they've come up with these. They can knock that building down and build a building, and it wouldn't cost $15 million.
I got you.
I think the Bahamian people are getting, when it comes to that, I think we are getting ripped off.
Well, now, the minister say, hey, that number seems too large. We're not for that right now. We're not doing it. That's one thing, the minister, right? We could say that clearly. He says it's not cost-effective. He says he doesn't think that's the way they should go, right? My greater concern is, what y'all going to do? Y'all going to sit and wait another term, another 5 years, so then the price to renovate it will jump to $25 million?
Well, I guess. Well, what I want to say, right, when I really call.
Yes, sir.
I think the minister, I guess, like I say, he pick a bag, or people say pick a bag, and just pick a number. Because I sure is no way in the world. No $15 million to do one building. Like they taking us for a fool. Like I say, repeat myself, $15 million can build two schools.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so here we are. I hope this is not an attempt to garner public support for the stalling of momentum, right? I hope that's not what you're doing. You throw this outrageous number out there so people could get upset and say, well, no, we ain't for that. And then the government could say, see, the people ain't for that. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, good morning. And I can't tell you how much it pains me when I hear persons like Freddie Muniz Jr. and others who are here in frustration because they are so talented. I didn't know that they had offered this prospect to the government. It's like, why didn't they listen to Edmund Mulcahy? Why don't they listen to Robert Bain? Why don't they listen to Freddie Muniz? Why don't they, if there are artists here, we have architects here, we have people, I am sure if they would call on that community to contribute to build an art school, I'm sure it would happen, you know? And why are they not telling the truth about traditional rake and scrape? Why aren't they pushing the history of it? Why?
I mean, I think the simple reason is only see that which is politically expedient in the moment. They don't have to. It's like they don't have any ill dislike of the thing. They may not even be aware of the thing because they can only see what they think will help seed in the political realm at the moment. And that's why really important context, right? Experiences, stories, things that need to be known to understand a modern day Bahamas, they're just invisible. They don't exist anymore because the people who know it refuse to talk it. Some don't talk it because they're scared, and some don't talk it because they are concerned about losing proximity to comfort and wealth and privilege. But listen, I got another caller on the line. Thank you very much, producer. Let's go to the next call. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
You didn't really go into details and in depth and tell that individual the truth about why they don't have an art school or whatever. The truth is because Bahamians don't support Bahamians. Let me explain to you on that, right?
Okay.
And let me expound on that. Notice on rallies, right? What are the theme songs and
the
heritage of the people that comes with the music, Jamaicans? What are the headliners, the artists that comes to the Bahamas? Jamaicans or Americans?
Mm-hmm.
Notice I mentioned no Bahamian yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Bahamian would be the opener, but he ain't be the headliner.
Mm-hmm.
Bahamians just simply don't. Foreign is better.
Yeah, we definitely have a lot of that still within us, right? But see, here's the thing with the concert. I can make an effort to see a foreign artist who I may not have a chance to see as easily as I could see a local artist, right? Like if I could go down to the farm and watch Johnny Cake, Iron Store, right? If I could go watch Phil Stubbs at the amphitheater. But the foreigner come into town, when I could get a chance to go fly out to concert, right? So I get that vibe there. But you're also not wrong. What's the music playing on the radio stations? What's the music you hear in town? All the time, it ain't Bahamian music. And again, most disappointed by political candidate songs that did not commit to a Bahamian sound. But thank you very much. Let's go to the next caller, producer. Good morning, caller.
I need to call back and clarify because it is not true. It's not because Bahamians do not support their music. It's a lie that's turned into a truth.
I get you.
There are no spaces where they can be heard and performed. It's not about us not loving our music. When the music in the Bahamas in the 50s and 60s was popular, Sam Cooke, Elvis Presley, all those people were playing music. It didn't stop us, ask Freddie Muniz Jr. It didn't stop our music from happening. It is a lie. It is that there is no space for it.
Well,
the artists are paid peanuts. There are no spaces. You go to Paris, you can hear music everywhere. You go to London, you hear music everywhere. Okay? You hear it where? At regattas?
You know,
and
I agree.
The music that our artists are playing is sex.
You don't.
People get tired of sex. They listen to reggae because they're talking sense. Okay? They get tired of hearing sex.
Okay, but you know what we sell here, right? Yeah. You know that? What's that tourism model? We sell sex and sexiness and the dream.
We need
That's
to
why you get
stop and understand that life is not about selling to tourists. It's about well-being.
Ma'am,
was always intended to feed our kids.
Why are you trying to disrupt life on the plantation? Ian Strawn's book, Plantation to Paradise, Tourism and Culture in the Anglophone Caribbean, a must read. You're around here trying to disrupt the plantation life, plantation living, with all this common sense.
Because we are connected to higher energies, and it is our duty as artists to keep bringing that music in.
Okay? I love it. Thank
that's
you.
That's our duty.
Yes.
If we fall by the wayside and only talk about books, that's not what life is about.
I got you. I got you. Thank you very much. Producer, let's go to the next caller. And I got some text to read here. Good morning, caller.
Hello. How are you doing, man?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good day. How's your day?
It's pretty good. Pretty good so far.
Aaron, I must agree with two of the callers. I'm a tour driver. And listen, when the people ask, where can I hear some good Bohemian music?
Mm-hmm.
My sister, I mean, ain't nowhere to point them.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, I understand what Mr. Munnis is saying. Remember Cat and the Fiddle? Yes, I remember those days. My daddy used to take me to them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those places are non-existent.
Yeah.
What I would want for the artists to do, if they could have their own building, have their own stuff, advertise to the ship, advertise. Don't wait on this government. If it ain't profiting the government, they're not
going to
stand behind it.
Hey, uncle.
Do you understand what
I'm saying? Yeah. But look here, uncle. You when you was talking just now, right? When you say open them up the cruise ship, right? Watch this. The cruise ship's ain't overnighting right now. But guess what? Why we can't have a dance in the day? First, on your stop in New Providence, we got a speakeasy. We got the club in the daytime. Come with
yes,
your dress
mean.
Up. Yes. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, I agree with you. I agree with you, because we don't have no stopovers. Yes, if the tourists could go on a tour, the tourists could go to a Bohemian jazz, a Bohemian junkanoo in the day,
yes.
A Bohemian rake and scrape in the day, a Bohemian calypso in the day, a Bohemian merengue in the day.
Uh-huh.
You understand me? Yes, I know we don't have no stopovers. That's what I'm talking about.
I like your idea. Yes,
I want the artists, them, don't wait for the government. KB, the rest of you guys, if you can hear me right now, put your resources together. Get one building. Renovate it. Understand me?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be glad to drive tourists to that building. 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Let them down to some good Bohemian music, Bohemian drinks, Bohemian hors d'oeuvres. Come on. I'm a very patriotic person.
Thank you.
I want my Bohemian music to be on fire.
Absolutely. Because
see you, honey. See you, Aaron. Love you.
Yes, absolutely. Listen, the song's playing in my head right now as you talking. So let's go to the next caller, and then we're going to read some text. Good morning, caller. Did I miss you? Okay, I miss you. So here's the text. Did the caller just say Stafford Sands promoted our music? No, that's not what the caller said. That's not the caller said. Here's the text. Aaron, Bohemians will never be tired. Oh. Okay, I gotta leave that one for last. Aaron, I don't necessarily think Bohemians don't support Bohemians. I think we all subconsciously know we were supposed to be kings and queens of our land, and we don't like to follow each other, unlike Americans who celebrate each other. But I'm more worried about victims being interrogated by the alleged offender in court. I'm more worried about victims. Okay, the story with the teenager who recanted, and the question of whether the accused actually asked questions, as opposed to the accused lawyer. I feel you. I got that text. I'm going to record this one. Thank you very much. I appreciate that point. Good morning. This Capas thing appears to be a hush-hush thing. I really want to know what is going on with how much is budgeting for this every time I hear about it. Capas is not the first performance that is a promised opportunity for someone who never had it. Can we have persons from the E. Clement Awards share their talent at the Dundas and let Barabbas entertain, let One Family, the students share their performance and tell Capas go fly a kite? No. I mean, we can't technically do that. And perhaps what it is that Capus is not the be-all and end-all, but Capus will be a entity or mechanism in a broader landscape that pulls together a viable and accessible sector for Bahamians to make money in their own country. Let's go to the phone.
Hey, how you doing, Aaron?
I'm good, thank you.
You know, one of the biggest problems was we have this issue with Bahamian apparently not supporting Bahamian entertainers.
Yes.
Is that, to be very honest with you, a lot of the entertainers don't know how to come together.
Mm-hmm.
That's a deeper problem. A lot of them, either if they're headlining, if they, getting lion's share of the funds, whatever, they don't want to work together.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
Think about it. All these years, we've had all of these different associations and so forth. What happened to the Musicians Association?
So there's the BEMU, Bahamas Entertainers Musicians Union, and
right.
There's a new union, United Artists, UAUB?
Right.
United Artists Union Bahamas.
It's just like any other organization. You want somebody always want to be in charge. Somebody want to dictate this. And, you know, one of the big things I got to give all governments credit for is during the summer, they heavily promote the regattas,
mm-hmm.
and that's where a lot of the entertainers make the lion's share of their money.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
Right.
But it got to be Bahamian music 24/7. Producer, thank you very much, caller. Producer, let's give this last caller 30 seconds. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Don't even need 30 seconds. Before independence, I had a musician, Ronnie Butler, sit with me on a Saturday morning, and he told me what I'm going to tell you. He said, before independence, we took our musicians on the plane to England, Canada, America, and around the world promoting our culture, junk canoe, and our music. He said, after independence, all the governments wouldn't even take us over the bridge. Now, you ponder upon that. Have a good one.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Here's a text. Art should be the last thing on our mind right now. Nurses, even though thousands of foreigners have NIB cards, which means they are paying, even though we are paying VAT in the millions. Meanwhile, the government is buying... Okay, texter. There is a reasonable question. Should we be talking about art while there's so many more important things to talk about, right? I think perhaps we miss the place that art, creativity, and imagination hold in our personal and collective development, right? The reason we cannot respond appropriately to these issues, the reason why we cannot articulate an effective or substantive opposition, advocacy, or mere response to policymakers, stakeholders, and people responsible is because we've lost the art. We don't even know how to frame a sentence anymore. We've lost the art. But more importantly, people are in crisis. That's why they can't respond to these things. I'm going to end the show just like I started it. If you see someone running a red light or a stop sign, let alone with their children or loved ones in the car with them, that is a person in crisis. And it is us. We are refusing to acknowledge that and make space for those people. So yes, we have lots to talk about. And art is one of them as well. Thank you, callers. Thank you, texters. And here's one, The Pond and the Farm. They promote Bahamian artists all the time. That's why I say that. This texter say, let's obey all laws. You must start that, texter. Moderate your speech on this text line. This is the person who took the text I told you all I was going to read at the end of the show because they're just trying to upset me. How can you expect motorists to adhere to what is right on the road when we have people who don't adhere to what is right in God's sight? We can't break God's laws in our personal lives like having a sweetheart or in a same-sex relationship, which is contrary. I thought you was going to talk about all the pedophiles. I thought you was going to talk about all the people molesting children, texter. All the people in positions of power taking advantage of children and vulnerable and weak people. People in uniforms. People sitting in offices where the name of the office have office in it. Right? Those sorts of people. And the pedophilia and the predatory behavior. I thought that's what you was going to talk about. Why are you so obsessed with gay people, texter? If we want to talk about what on predation on minors and the vulnerable. Anyway, they were trying to get me upset. They can't get me upset. Because you want to argue, but you can't argue with me. You mad. But you ain't mad at me. You guys have a great day, because Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
That's how I will hold you, darling, endlessly.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.